Okay, now number eight is a sound picture, and what this is logo. These are turtles made with logo, and we see here a turtle made out of stepping motors, and it has a felt marker that it can make things on, kid has programmed it to make a design here. One of the famous design that they made is called a squirrel, and that one actually, and it's made by a very, very simple computer program. And it's a good hack. To this day, it represents a tragedy that the kids are not learning how to really program. They're just playing games with the computers and so forth.
But this is.
Yes, there is. It's almost, you know, it's going on a few places. I'm not an expert in it. You know, there's people over in the media lab.
Yeah, Pafford is still over there.
Well, he's sort of retired, I think, but he may drop by occasionally. But
and of course, Hal is in the building here.
Yeah, yeah. And Hal, in these days, he was part of the logo group.
Right. Now,
there's other people too.
I know you don't want to give me a year, but roughly 68, 69.
I don't know. It was something like that. Anyway, these turtle things could be made either on the 340 or on a display or with the physical turtle, and these displays were very expensive, so that was a big problem was how to make a display for the kids.
How's the turtle being controlled?
Well, it's being controlled by the logo language, and the console being used here is something called an execute port.
Here it is drawing on the screen.
Yeah.
Now you just put a pencil into what?
Well, there it is right there. See, there's a turtle.
Okay.
It's got two stepping motors,
uh-huh.
And it's got the pen, and it's got a solenoid.
Okay. So the computer itself is still. It is just driving this device, the turtle device, as an output device for the PDP.
Well, I'm not sure which. This looks to me like this was possibly being driven from the PDP-6. I think it was. In later years, it was PDP-11, and then different other things.
Yeah.
But here at the beginning here, you see these consoles. These things are called execute ports. They cost $3,600 or something like that. They were thermoelectric. They used thermo paper, so it was fairly expensive paper.
Yeah.
And they worked at 30 characters per second, which was much faster. The teletype was basically 10 characters per second. So this was three times as fast printing rate. We had an electronic thing. It was a serial, like a teletype device. So it received.
Yeah, it shows up later as a Texas writer.
That's right. That was another.
First got the acoustic coupler on the box, and they used thermal paper, and they used this old rig. Yeah.
Well, this was a competitor of that, I think.
Oh.
This execute port was a little bit earlier, and then sort of they lost out in a little bit to Texas Instruments as years went by a little bit. But it was a very similar device.
The main thing is it's three times faster.
Well, it's three times faster, and the
$3,500 each.
Yeah, and the other thing is that we had an interface to it. It's a serial device, so it can work at a remote. Distant device, over modems and stuff, and we had a little logic so that via computer control by typing a funny character or some odd thing, you could basically twiddle the signals connected with this with these stepping motors and step the stepping motors. So this setup was usable in a physical school. In other words, we had. Uh, our, for a fairly short interval, and I think it's actually during this time, we were actually running in a school in Lexington called the Muzzy School, I believe, or one of those out there. And basically, you know, at a certain class hour, the kids would come on and use our machine. At that time, we had a very primitive time-sharing system, and they could actually use this as part of their school day and so forth.
Was that on a daily basis or once a week?
Well, I don't know. I think it might have been on a daily basis for just a very short time, like a couple of weeks or something.
But runs the turtle.
Yeah, and you had I think
they know what the hell's going on now.
Well, they have three kids know what's going on. I mean, they well, we had
these
the local
kids are sitting here and they're giving teletype commands.
Yeah, and there's illustrations of that. There's this Logo programming language, you know, which was designed, and so it had a sort of a built-in editor, and it had
everything
else you need.
But how is the remote location in Lexington getting feedback of what the output is?
Well, in those days, it was a real pain. Basically, we had a multiplexer. We had several arrangements, and basically during some of that period, we had to make our own modem and multiplexer that would basically say, you know, transport 300 CPS teletype signals out
okay,
there.
Okay, so that's coming in.
And then turning around and going back out.
What are you sending back out to them? No.
Same thing. 300 CPS character stream.
And it's then printing on this piece of paper.
Yeah.
Okay. So the code that they're writing, in this instance, we've seen two instances before of what the output is. One is the screen.
Yeah.
The other is drive a turtle. There's
yeah.
a third output now of drive the thermal printer.
Well, you want to look at it that way, yeah. I mean, actually, there's the turtle and the printer are the two things, and then the turtle can either be a physical turtle, which runs around on the floor, or it can be a
screen turtle.
Turtle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And this particular film, I think, I'm not sure what display this is shot off of. This looks to me like it might have been the 340. These kids might have come into our lab for this particular thing. So in this era, I don't believe they did have a display capability in the school.
In the school.
However, they wanted it very badly, and so as a result of them wanting it so bad, Minsky and Papert actually made a small company, and it's a very long story, to try to make a device to do that, and they did succeed, although
but
it was...
For the time that they... So, the school that your recollection, the name of the school is the Muzzy School.
That's one of them, yeah.
And sometime during the day, the kids go into a room and turn on one of these typing machines, ExecuPort typing machine.
Well, they had three of them. Yeah, they had, you know, so three. You know, kids can work in groups of two, for example, and you have three consoles. So,
this is absolutely incredible. They're out there in a school in 1968. Running a remote device, coming back in to run the PDP-6 for the purpose of running a Logo program, and they're doing this in their own class, in their own classroom situation from Lexington.
Yeah, that's right. Let's see here.
Have you seen this story written anyplace or told anyplace?
Well,
that
part of the story is so tragic. I mean, maybe the reason why they don't tell it too often is because this whole Logo thing was flubbed. And
but as a historical fact, this is as big a game as the one that we all remember, and that is the creation of the mouse and all that stuff out at Xerox PacLite. What's his name?
Engelbart.
So, I mean, this stuff is going on here with the remoteness and so forth.
Well,
It's not as big, but it
could have, if it'd been done right, it would have been bigger, of course. Anyway, that's another whole other story.
Okay.
Okay, anyway, that's what that is. And you can get a couple of glimpses here of the surroundings and this display. And I'm not sure if this
now
might...
It's still a black and white display. I thought I saw a color there at one point.
It's a black and white display. All these displays are black and white in this era. They did have multiple phosphor. The display, that's right, it was just like a radar screen.
Okay.
So there's a short phosphor that's blue and a long phosphor that is yellow-green.
Okay.
And that's another.
Me out okay.
Yeah. And this, I'm not sure if this is a 30. This might possibly be an early logo. Okay. Well, it's hard to say. Okay, so that's clip 8. Okay, now we're going to hear our last one for today, I think, is going to be clip 9.